Welcome to Wasaga Community Church, everyone who is here and everyone tuning in online as well. I'm Pastor John Dart, and we're glad to see you all here today. We have a full day today. As most of you know, after our service, our regular service, we will also be having what I call a symphony of prayer. So we encourage you to stay for that. It's going to be a great time of prayer together. A few announcements before we carry on in worship. A couple of things in addition to the normal activities of our church. And first of all, just want to remind you of those. We have a prayer group on Monday afternoon, and that's at 2 o'clock, and a great time of prayer together, and always encouraging anyone who wants to join in to do that with Dan and Joyce and the rest of the group. Tuesdays bi-weekly at 2 p.m., weekly Bible devotional. So that's Tuesday evening. And I should also mention, too, another thing that's happening on Tuesday is that the Seavers are packing their truck, and anyone who wants to join in to help with the packing, that'll be happening at 10:30. So you're encouraged to go to 19 Royal Beach Drive to their house there. And the time will be 10:30 to begin loading. Wednesday, Ladies Vision Group, and Thursday will be Bible study discussion. What chapter are you on now?
Chapter 2, verses 18 and following.
Okay, so you've only got 17 verses done last week?
And 17 chapters.
Okay. And then on Saturday, evening prayer group with Jim and Grace. So that'll be at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening. One other thing that Christina wanted me to mention, too, is that our church raised $650 for the Envisage Pregnancy Services. Yep. Praise the Lord for that. And the center itself raised a total of $60,000. So that's a great, great thing that the Lord has done. So thank you to all who were generous and gave to that vital ministry. Today, as we enter worship, we want to think of the Lord's sovereignty, his sovereignty over the church specifically, and so we are here to acknowledge that he is Lord of the church. Let's think about that as we come into worship and as Tonga and the team lead us. Let's raise our praise to him as the sovereign Lord in our lives, but also in our church. Let's stand as we open in prayer. Lord God, we are so thankful to be here today as a congregation, and God, we are in awe of all that Jesus has done for us. And Lord, we realize that Jesus, as he died on the cross, died for our salvation individually, but also to purchase the church as his own bride. And so, Lord, we are here as the bride of Christ. We are here to give thanks and praise to you and to Jesus, who is the Lord of the church. And so, God, I pray that you would enable our worship today, that you would empower us to set aside all of our distractions and to lift our eyes, our voices, our hearts to you today. We want to glorify you in all things. And Lord, we pray a blessing on the rest of the day too. We want to open our hearts to your word in a few minutes, but we also, God, want your spirit to be poured out in a significant and meaningful way during our symphony of prayer today. Lord, we want to see answers to our prayers as your spirit leads us to pray for our world and our community and for our church body here. So God, bless us in all that we do today. And again, we thank you for Jesus and pray in his name. Amen.
God, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, and your goodness this morning. We adore you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, even as we prepare our hearts right now, Lord, for Pastor John Dart to come and speak, I just pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to anoint him right now. And, Lord, that you would just open up our hearts this morning to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Today we're looking at Acts chapter 1. Acts is a great book, especially the first part of Acts, to talk about the unity of the church. And that's really what we're talking about today. This will be a brief message, but I want to show you a couple of things from what the believers in the early church did as they're described, as those events are described in the first chapter of Acts. Here's something that a pastor, his name is Reverend Richard Fairchild. He relates this little anecdote. This leads us into the message today. He says, "I was in a small rural church one time that had a major dispute about where the pies should be placed in the kitchen prior to serving them for the annual turkey supper. One woman actually left the church community because several newcomers to the church had convinced the rest of the women working in the church that it would be more efficient to put the pies on the counter beside the sink instead of the counter next to the fridge." She said, the woman that left the church said, "It's not the right way to do it. We've never done it that way before, and I'm not going to be part of doing it that way now. I won't have any part of that kind of thing. Those new people are going to ruin this church. They don't know anything. They aren't even from around here." In PEI, they would say they're from away. So today what we're looking at is the days that followed Jesus' ascension into heaven. So what happened is that Jesus met with his disciples just before he ascended, gave them some instructions, told them to wait in Jerusalem, not to do anything until the Holy Spirit had fallen on them. So, and then he disappeared into the clouds. Now, where we pick up the story is in chapter 1, verse 12, actually, and they've assembled in an upper room. And I can imagine, and you can maybe imagine as well, that there is a certain amount of maybe confusion, even some chaos in their mind, chaos in the community of faith that had been following Jesus. Because think about it, the disciples had followed Jesus for 3 years thereabouts, and he had many other followers as well. And all of a sudden Jesus died, and of course they were in despair over that, not understanding why Jesus had allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, executed by the Romans, did not call legions of armies to come, heavenly armies to come and establish his kingdom, which was what many of them thought would happen. And so despair because of that. And then incredible joy when they discover that Jesus had been resurrected. And so a real roller coaster for these people. And he's there with them and appearing to a number of them. And then he returns to heaven. And so the people left behind, I'm sure, were thinking to themselves, what's going to happen next? And they were in a period of transition, a period of chaos, a period of time when everything seemed to be confused. It may even have seemed to them that God didn't really know what he was doing. On the outside looking in, you might think that. And so this is where we pick up the story with these people. And I think what that says to us is that in this period of transition time that we're in, that there's something we can learn from what these people did, what these disciples did as they met in the upper room. So we want to look at the specifics of that, and there's two things that united them. That's really the thoughts that I want to leave with you today. But here's our overall sermon in a sentence. This is about unity. So in one body, we're aligned, united in spirit with one mind. Now listen to what it says. I'll pick it up at verse 14, actually. It says, "All these," that is the ones that were meeting in the upper room, "with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." And then what happens is that Peter stands up and he addresses the group. And he refers to Scripture, and I'm not going to read all of that, but basically he refers to a prophecy that showed that Judas would betray Jesus, and he comes to the end of that, and the book of Psalms that he quotes, recorded here in verse 20, it says, "Let another take his office." And so what Peter is saying is, we have to make a decision, guys, about who is going to be the 12th apostle. And there were qualifications for that. It had to be someone who accompanied Jesus, who had seen
the risen Christ as well. And so they make a decision as they put forward two men, and they come to a place of decision. But listen to what it says. It says, they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And so they make this decision. So there are a couple things I want you to see here. If we go back to verse 14, just before we look at two important things that they did, I want you to see something in verse 14. It says there that all of the people in the upper room were gathered and with one accord were devoting themselves to what they were doing there, which was prayer. And this is an important, meaningful little expression, with one accord. It's actually, in the original manuscripts, it's just one word. It means with the same mind. They all had the same focus. They were unified, in other words. And this little word, this little expression, with one accord, occurs 10 times through the book of Acts. So I think you can say from that the church, as it grew and as we see it unfolding in the book of Acts, was a church that was unified. They had the same mind. They were with one accord. Now, there are a couple things about that, a couple things I want you to see. And the first is, well, actually, let me back up a little bit. Let me give you a little bit of I guess you would call it theology. We are, as believers, we are soul and spirit. The soul, and there's a lot of debate about this, but I believe that the soul is the human, invisible part of us. And whether you are a believer or not a believer, you have soul. And it's the invisible makeup of humankind. And soul is divided into three parts. So there is mind. So that's what we think. Nobody can put an ultrasound machine on you and see your thoughts, right? It's invisible. So we have mind, intellect. We also have emotion, which is heart. And again, nobody can, examine us with an ultrasound machine and see our emotions, our feelings, right? It's invisible. It's all part of the invisible soul. The third part that you may not be totally aware of, but the third part is will. It's where we make decisions. It's our determination to make decisions and to follow those decisions. And what I want you to see is a verse further on in Acts. And so let's put that up here. And again, the same expression, the same little word is used here. And this is the apostles talking, and they say, "It has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." And what's happening here is that there was a council in Jerusalem to instruct the Gentiles as to how they should live their lives apart from paganism. And so they're making this decision to send Barnabas and Paul. It's a decision of will. They decide that with one accord they will do this. So what I'm saying to you, an important thing here to realize, is being united with one accord and the same mind can be a decision of will. It's not dependent on emotions. It shouldn't be. It's something we choose to do. We choose and we make it so. As you know from Star Trek, that's what... what was it? Captain Picard used to say that, right? And it's very scriptural. Choose it, make it so. And there are all kinds of examples of that in Scripture, commands, and we are to do that and make it so. So you can do that with unity, with this whole area of unity. Now, here's another verse that shows that also this one accord kind of thing can happen according to our feelings, which is something that we have to fight against, because our feelings in this area can lead us astray. Now, this is where Stephen had given his long sermon in the book of Acts, and there were those there who, although they were hearing this message, they weren't taking it in and receiving it and welcoming that message into their hearts. but instead they were reacting to it. They were reacting with rage. And so they, at the end, they cry out with a loud voice. They stick their fingers in their ears and they run at Stephen. And what does it say next? With one accord. Same expression. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. So here's an example of people also being united with one accord, but with a negative intent, driven by emotion. And the outcome is a murder, the murder of Stephen. So this unity that we see in the body of Christ in Acts is to be something that we choose. We choose it because Christ purchased that unity on the cross, and we are to live according to that and do that in a positive way. So these things sometimes happen in the body where we can be tempted just by the little interactions and sometimes the frictions that happen. We can be tempted to let astray, and this is why I wanted to bring this to your attention before we get into these two really important things. Let me give you an example again. I know the atmosphere can be kind of heavy when we're talking about these kinds of things. So here's the kind of thing that can happen, but this happened in a neighborhood. This lady says, driving to the dentist one day, I made a left-hand turn and was hit by an oncoming car. The accident was my fault, and as I verified the accident report, I saw to my horror that the other driver, who was furious, lived a few houses down from me. 3 months later, I saw her at a neighborhood barbecue. There's the woman from the accident, I told my husband. What should I say to her? His response was short and sweet. He said, just go up and say, nice bumping into you again. And I relate that to you because I think that we need to have a sense of humor when sometimes we have the friction, and not give in to anger that can cause us to unify with others and look for somebody to stone, right? It can happen in church. So that's just a couple of things before we jump into the rest of this message. So what unified these people? What did they unify around? What was the thing that brought them together? And there are two things. And we see here that the first one is prayer. And the great thing about this, we see this in verse 14, it says that they were devoting themselves to prayer. In other words, they were spending time. They were spending all of their time at it. They weren't just sitting in that upper room, twiddling their thumbs, wondering what was going to happen next, talking about the weather, or their motorcycles or skidoos, or whatever, you know, in that day, chariots maybe. They weren't doing that. They were praying and devoting themselves to it, spending hours at it, spending all of their time. But what were they praying? We have to go all the way down to verse 24. It says there, they prayed, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all." So the first thing that they're doing here is that they are acknowledging in their prayer the will of the Lord. They're acknowledging that the Lord is Lord of the church. They're acknowledging that it didn't have anything to do with their will, who they wanted, their own agenda. That didn't matter to them. They said, "You, Lord." Lord means sovereign. And they're specifically referring to the sovereignty of the Lord in the church. Now, I could quote to you a number of verses that say that Jesus is the head of the church, but I don't want to do that to you. I want to show you a visual, and this comes from Revelation. So here's a verse, or a couple of verses from Revelation. And John is exiled to the island of Patmos, and he hears a voice speaking behind him, and he turns, and he sees this figure walking among the churches of Ephesus, among seven churches. And it talks about the churches being having a lampstand, being a shining light in their communities. And this is how he describes the person that he saw. He says, his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze. In other words, glowing, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. It goes on to say, in his right hand he held seven stars. And the fact that he held them means that he possessed them. Seven stars representing the leadership of these churches. And from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. That is his word, his truth. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. So can you visualize that? It's no wonder that John fell on his face before the Lord. Because Jesus is Lord of the church. And how much different would it be in churches if congregations, leaders, membership had a vision of Jesus as absolute Lord in the church, and that no one was pushing any other agenda than what Jesus' will was. And so they acknowledged this as they prayed to Jesus about this decision. But the second thing is that they weren't just submitting to the will of the Lord, but to the word of the Lord. So it seems that Peter quoted these scriptures that we sort of skipped over. It seems like he quoted them from memory, so he had a good handle on the Old Testament scriptures, and this is all they had. They had the Old Testament scriptures to go by, and they also had the words of Jesus, his teaching that he had given them as they followed him throughout Palestine, and his final instructions. That was the word of the Lord that they had. But for us, it's different. We have more. We have the entire body of teaching of the apostles, the revealed word of God that came later. And if you go through all of that, if you read through the entire New Testament, you begin to see a pattern. You begin to see the reason for the church's existence. And again, let me put a verse up here that basically summarizes that. Why do we exist as a church? Why do we exist here in this community? Why does the universal church of all believers for all time, why does it exist? And here it says, to him be glory in the church. In other words, the glory of the Lord. The church is to glorify the Lord. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Can't be clearer than that. That our purpose is to glorify the Lord. And these two things are related. We glorify the Lord by focusing on his will. What is his will for our church? So these people unified around this, praying with God's will, with the will of the Lord and the word of the Lord as uppermost. So that comes to how this applies to us. And I think the one thing that we realize is that if we're going to focus on the will of the Lord and the word of the Lord, that's going to involve prayer, right? And I think it goes without saying that we guard against the kind of unity that leads to negative outcomes and stoning other people. But it means gathering for prayer. And, of course, that's what we're going to do today. It's why I'm preaching this message right now today, because it leads into this important aspect of congregational life, seeking the will of the Lord by praying, submitting ourselves to Scripture and to His will. So that's what it means for us as a congregation. And what do we do with that specifically? So here's finally, now what? Start somewhere. This goes back to making a decision. Just do it. Not just here today, but it's important to make decisions in our lives as believers. It's important to say, okay, I'm going to start something that I haven't started before, something that's important, something that God is speaking to me about. I need to simply make a decision and start doing it. Make room in my daily routine to just start doing it. Decide and do it, and let the Spirit of God take over as you do that. And specifically, I think we can say, consider attending not just concert or symphony of prayer today, but congregational prayer gatherings, Bible study, even Sunday worship, if your attendance has been kind of spotty in that regard. These are things that unify us in the body of Christ as we gather around God's will and God's word. So, final say here goes to Paul. He says in Philippians, "You must fill up my joy so that you continually think the same way while having the same love, united in spirit, thinking the same thing, doing nothing according to selfish ambition or according to conceit." So, final thought then before the praise team comes. In one body, we're aligned, united in spirit with one mind, and may that be true of our body here at Wasega Community Church. Team, come on back and lead us in final song. Just before we finish today, we have a couple of things we want to do. Going to ask Dan and Joyce to come forward right now. Just join me up here. Dan and Joyce have been going through the membership process for a couple of months now, and on Tuesday, the elders unanimously made official their membership in this church. And what I want to do is we want to have a committal, I guess you would call it a ceremony, involving you and them. So I'm just going to read a commitment, and Dan and Joyce will affirm their desire to do these things as the Spirit enables them, and then I'll read the same thing for you. So they'll say, "We will," you'll say, "We will," and we commit together. It's like a marriage. Yeah, some of you are, it's like I do, right? So Dan and Joyce, do you commit to praying for, helping and supporting others, using your spiritual gifts in unity with the body of Christ here at Wasega Community Church as the Spirit enables you?
Absolutely.
We will.
And congregation, do you commit to praying for this couple, helping and supporting them, using your spiritual gifts in unity with the body of Christ here at Wasega Community Church as the Spirit enables you? So we're glad to welcome Dan and Joyce into membership, and I'm just going to get you folks to stay up here, but if you could just go on the other side of the table here, there and welcome to Wasega Community Church formally. But I want the Siebers to come up as well. We want to pray for two couples today, and we're going to do that in a minute.
But... Can we first
actually physically walk? Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah.
We will.
And Siebers, if you want to come up as well. I don't have a marriage ceremony for you. And this family has been with us for decades, right? And they'll be moving this week. We'll be sorry to see them go. But we know that the Lord is going to go with them, and the bond won't be broken, the spiritual bond that we have in Christ. And so we realize that it's not goodbye, it's see you later, right? See you later. And so we want to pray for them as well. And so I'm going to ask all of the elders to come up, and we want to lay hands on both Dan and Joyce and the Siebers, so some of you can... we can spread ourselves out here. Let's elders first, but also want to invite anyone else who would like to come and just lay hands on these folks. Feel free to do that. Lord God, it is such a privilege to be part of the body of Christ, and Lord, these meaningful moments that we've just experienced remind us of the unity of the body. Lord, the welcoming of Dan and Joyce into membership, Lord, and we do pray that you will enable all of us to work together in unity and to use our spiritual gifts to help and support one another and to see your your work go forward, Lord, and we can only do that by the enabling of your Spirit. And so we thank you for what you're doing in this body. And Lord, we also want to pray for Susan and Kurt and Irmgard, God, as they leave us. God, this can seem like a sad occasion, but we know that we are really commissioning them and sending them out to another place to be used by you in Elliott Lake, Lord. And so we send them off with our blessing, and we know that this is not a forever goodbye, but it's a see you later, Lord, and see you later sometime, perhaps on this earth, but for sure in eternity. And so, God, we thank you for their ministry. We thank you for the way that you have used them in so many ways here. And, Lord, we pray your blessing on them. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus and all that he gives us in the body of Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. So, Irmgard and Kurt and Susan, here's a gift from our church. And we, again, want the Lord to bless you so much. So in a few moments, we will be starting the Symphony of Prayer. I encourage you to take a break, maybe get some water to drink. It's kind of hot in here now. And so we'll be regathering in what's the time? I don't have the time in front of me. Are we about? Okay. So let's aim to begin Concert of Prayer at 11:45. Okay.